Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Scott Kleinberg, social media strategist. How you doing today, Scott?
I'm doing well, Bob. How are you?
I'm about 75% today, and anxious to hear what you have to say about all this misleading information on social media. So much of it lately, health news, and you've got word of a survey about this. Scott, what did we learn from that?
It's actually pretty scary, Bob. So this survey is by a nonprofit activist group called Avaz, and they found that Facebook groups and pages that spread misleading health news attracted an estimated 3.8 billion, billion with a B, views in the past year, which means that these are these sources that are pushing all these bogus claims, and they drew far more traffic than any authoritative sources on topics, and in this case, the topic is COVID-19.
So as the pandemic grew and the information became more and more important, it got worse?
Yeah. Of those 3.8 billion views, half a billion came in April alone. So we have to think about the timeline, okay? We start to stay inside in mid-March. By April, the trend peaks just as states expanded their lockdowns.
They earmark the groups and pages that are the worst, right?
Yes. The report calls 10 accounts super spreaders. They call them super spreaders because they're large and powerful. So these 10 pages racked up four times as many views as the top 10 leading global health agencies in April. And keep in mind, this is going on even as Facebook is in the process of taking new steps to show users information from actual authoritative health sources. So remember when we had all those conversations, Bob, about the COVID misinformation center that Facebook was putting out, and then they put out warnings that apply to some of President Trump's posts. This misinformation was spreading like wildfire, and it just couldn't be contained. And honestly, right now, it is safe to say that this is why Facebook is overrun with all of this false COVID news today. This point in time is when it all happened, and you take all that info, it all goes viral, and by the time that happens, there's just no way to rein it all in.
Did Facebook comment on this survey?
Yeah, their typical response that, you know, I say dances around the problem. They say that we share Avaz's goal of limiting misinformation, but their findings don't reflect the steps we've taken to keep it from spreading on our services. But here's the problem, Bob. The steps that Facebook is so proud that it should have been, you know, that it's taking, it should have been implemented years before the pandemic, about before any of this misinformation was a thing. And because it wasn't, they're basically starting from scratch in April. So to me, those steps mean very, very little. And in the long run, they certainly did nothing to prevent all this misinformation from affecting a lot of people's lives. You can't log on today without that misinformation being there.
Can anything be done, or is it too late?
You know, it's late. It's not too late. However, the only thing that can be done to fix it, honestly, is a commitment from Facebook and Twitter. I'm pointing you to Twitter as well, that I don't see happening. Facebook or Twitter would need to clear off all of the information in one fell swoop. They'd need to just clear it all out. And there's probably, like we said, there's billions of posts. So going forward, they would need to not rely on groups of fact checkers, which is what they have now. They determine what stays and what goes. They need to write something actually into the Facebook code to be able to stop this kind of posting from ever happening. Now, I don't know how to do the technical part, but that's really the only way to do it, because posts that go out and are fact-checked normally, no matter how many fact-checkers you have, they go viral long before they're taken down, and then it's too late, and we're back to where we started.
You know, I'm going to places like Cleveland Clinic and Mayo Clinic, the CDC, and not even paying much attention to some of the other posts that are on Facebook. That's what we all should be doing, isn't it?
That is what we all should be doing. And you bring up a really good point. You know, for someone like me, you know, as a social media strategist, I'm doing exactly what you're doing. I mean, I fact check things anyway. But yeah, I'm just skipping the middleman. I'm going right to the source to find out all these things. You know, Johns Hopkins has a really great COVID tracker that tells me every day what the infection rate is in the state, you know, just everything that I need to know. And it would be great if the social media platforms could work in a way where they can be used in tandem, but it's just not that way. Now you almost have to choose one or the other, or you have to fact check everything you look at on social media first.
Right. And oftentimes on Twitter, I see some interesting posts and I'll click on something someone has shared. But I always try to take note of what the source is. And I mean, it's just so important to do this today, isn't it?
It really is important. It's always been important, but now it is more important than ever. It is so easy for some source that's either not a real source or a source that's brand new or just whatever the case may be to just jump in and take over the conversation and look like that they're a legitimate source when they're not. So what you're doing is really, really a good thing for all of us.
Scott, let's talk about Facebook and what they're exploring related to misinformation and the election.
Sure. So they are getting ready in case President Trump interferes once the vote is over. So there was this report in the New York Times the other day, and basically Facebook employees are laying out contingency plans, and they're walking through post-election scenarios that include, you know, any attempts by Trump or his campaign to use the platform to delegitimize the results. So, for example, if he were to wrongly claim on the site that he won another four-year term, or he tried to invalidate the results by declaring that the Postal Service lost mail-in ballots, they're trying to prepare for what would happen if that were to occur.
When we heard about this kill switch, it raised a lot of eyebrows. What is that exactly?
Well, it's a way to shut off political advertising after Election Day, since ads, which remember, Facebook does not police for truthfulness, could be used to spread misinformation. So it's kind of what I was talking about a few minutes ago with COVID. It would be a way to remove what's there and therefore the ability for the incorrect and potentially damaging content to go viral.
But it's weird that they'll allow politicians to post whatever they want, but then they can kill the content. So
yeah.
What about fact-checking first and making all the information accurate in the first place?
Bob, it's truly the $64,000 question, and, you know, an answer would be worth a lot more than that. But it's one that Mark Zuckerberg refuses to answer, other than he says that Facebook needs to be a place to host the content, not to determine what the content is. But there's really a fine line between those two things.
Interesting. And is it Twitter doing something? Are they planning something as well, or is it just Facebook?
Well, right now, this kill switch idea relates just to Facebook. According to what we're hearing, Twitter and even YouTube have had conversations internally about how to handle a similar issue, but nothing has been made public. Now, if I had to guess, I would say that they're probably really hoping that none of that happens, simply because a kill switch is an idea in theory. It's not something that we've seen, so we really don't know how well it may work. But to me, the conversation itself, just the fact that they're having it, is newsworthy.
Yeah, for sure. Over the weekend, there was a situation that tested the social media networks. Talk about that for a second, Scott.
Yeah. And, you know, Bob, they failed miserably. Twitter applied another one of those labels that they've been doing to a dangerously misleading tweet. And in this case, just like the example we just used before, it was a tweet by Trump talking about voting, and it was just not accurate. So Twitter put up one of those labels. Now, Facebook, there was the same post on Facebook. Facebook suggested that people go to its election center for more info. And, you know, none of those things are enough, not even close. And, you know, I keep putting things in medical terms because of everything that's going on, Bob. And the way I look at it is misinformation is a wound that needs stitches, not a Band-Aid.
Yeah, well said. Scott Kleinberg, social media strategist. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you, Scott.
Sounds great, Bob. Take care.